the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is Hammer Lane Legends, and I am your intro and outro host, Jack Merkel. I took over the job from Tony and Brian today. Yeah, they'll be on the interview though, so don't worry, you'll still be able to hear their beautiful voices. So before we get into the interview with Josh today, let's get down to some business real quick. So the first thing here is, we know last year was crazy. We know that there's the opportunity for snow and any other sort of emergency situation to pop up. And so the best thing to do in an emergency situation is to be prepared. And how can you be prepared when it comes to having food ready to eat at any time? Well, that would be preparewithhll.com. Yes, preparewithhll.com. You get a discount on a 2 or 4 week supply of food ready to be made. And especially when it comes to some cold weather, if you get, you know, caught on the side of the highway, whatever the situation may be, this is going to be beneficial for you just to have in store to be ready in case there is a situation that might pop up that could be, bad for you, bad for everybody. So when you're not prepared, it's bad for everybody and for you. So let's be prepared. Prepare with HLL. Did I say that enough? I hope I did. So the other thing is, we have this awesome thing called a voicemail line. Yes, you guys heard last week a lot of the stories on there. They came from the voicemail line, and I know that I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did, at least listening through them. Brian and Tony, wow, that's weird to call my dad Brian. But anyway, Brian and Tony being able to comment on the show, it was fun, at least for them too. But if you have a voicemail, anything, any story that you want to share that may not fill up a whole show, something maybe 5 minutes or so, feel free to give us a call on the voicemail hotline. That's 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. That's if you have something to share that you think just won't fill up a whole show. We say the voicemail line is about 15 minutes. So if you have something that's under 15 minutes, feel free to give us a call. Anything longer, you might want to just email us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com just so you can get on the show, share your stories with us. I'm sure you have more than one, and it would be fun to hear from you. We love hearing from you guys. We love that you guys listen. It's so much fun for us. So if you have a story, feel free to email us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com, and I will not talk your ear off anymore. We have Josh. Josh is on. He's a forklift operator. He's actually close by us here in PA. And he has some pretty crazy stories. He seems like he's had some damaging incidents before. So I won't tell you, but I'll let him tell you. So let's get to it right now.
All right, today we got Josh on the show. Josh, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Tony. Good to be on here.
Awesome, man. Dad, say hi.
Yeah.
It's the routine now.
He's such a jerk.
Yeah, I know.
How you doing, Josh? It's nice to talk to you.
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, so we got done talking for like 45 minutes about a lot of stuff that we can't broadcast.
We certainly did.
Cancel culture's real. And that's as far as we're going to go. Right, Joe?
Come on, man.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right, Josh. So listen, man, you're a forklift operator. You've been doing it for a while. And you're not that far from me. You're in, I don't know, can I say the area you're in?
Yeah, I'm over in Lancaster County area.
Yeah, Lancaster County, PA. So you're not far from me.
See, now you added the PA. Now everybody knows because it's been.
Everybody
Lancaster
knows
County,
that
California.
I'm in PA. Dad, there Lancaster are people County, all over the world that know Pennsylvania because of me.
Oh yeah, there.
Oh, hang on a second. I got to take my headphones. Hang on. I got to take my headphones off. My head is getting big.
I was gonna say your headphones. You got to put them underneath your chin.
Yeah.
That won't stretch over your head.
No, but Josh, man. So.
People know the United States is here because Tony's
pretty
here.
Much Guatemala. We're number
Guatemala.
One. Dad, we're number one in Guatemala.
We're number one in Guatemala in traveling places.
There you go. There you go.
It's all the important things.
Hammer Lane, moving on up. Yes, okay. So, Josh, you have some stories you want to share from driving forklift, anything from a warehouse collapsing to you collapsing things and everything in between. So where do you want to start us off with, man?
Well, I guess I'll start with the fun one that I was personally involved in with the me collapsing things. So, so I'll just jump right into it with, I've been working at the company for probably 3 years, maybe more. I don't know. And anyhow, we had a normal routine. We get product in and so we dealt with seed and then we'd mix and sell our own seed mixtures. So I've got some stuff in. We were doing a whole bunch of mixing that day. And one of my jobs was to take some of the product we mix and put it out in the warehouse. So like any other day, I was taking stuff out. And there was one spot in one of the middle rows that it had kind of a buckle. Somebody had hit it more than once. And it, you know, it'd been like that for years, ever since I'd started. No big issue. So, you know, I tucked pallets in there before, just kind of push them a little harder and they go right in. You rip a bag or two, but usually you can throw that in another mixture or something. So anyhow, no big deal. So I take something out, tuck it in there and, you know, pushing it wasn't quite going in right. So I gave a little bit of gas and pushed it in. All of a sudden I hear a pop. I'm like, oh, this is bad. And I look up. And I see the shelves coming towards me. And my first thought is, well, don't get out of the forklift because you'll die. So I'm going to stay here because the cage will protect me. I'm thinking, well, if anything comes through the cage, I'll just put my arms up. So I put my both arms up kind of like a boxing thing or whatever, just above my head. I don't know what I was thinking because I just would have died if anything had really landed on me. And everything just, you know, hit the cage. You know, seed went all over. Just everything just went around me. And I felt very comfortable and safe inside my forklift.
But I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Look, brought back to mind all those safety videos or whatever they make you watch. I'm just like, okay, well, I have all my limbs and I'm not dead under like a shipping container. So this is good. So I'm just kind of sitting there shaking and somebody walks out. They're like, oh, shoot. You okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just gonna sit here. Like everything clean. I'm like, yeah, somehow. So I don't even know how. Normally I would have said like, you know, all sorts of profanity that following. I said nothing. I just sat there in my mind thought like completely rational thoughts, which is not normal for me. But whatever. Kept me safe. Yeah. So anyhow, my one of my coworkers. He had come out, so he's like, oh crap, so you're safe. Kind of started brainstorming how we were going to get the forklift out and what we're going to do. And then somebody else had come out and seen it, like, okay, I'm going to run and go grab our supervisor. So supervisor, or he runs off, goes to get the supervisor. Supervisor kind of comes out, assesses the situation with like this little glance of like, well, this is bad. And mind you, he's an Amish gentleman, so he's kind of quiet, keeps himself a little bit, but likes to get into mischief here and there. And he just looks, and there was nothing like, this is funny or whatever. It's like, oh, he comes out, looks, crap, and leaves. It's like, oh shoot, well, I'm fired. Come back. He comes back like 10 minutes later. I'm finally out the forklift. We're starting like try to figure out, again, still brainstorming, like, what do we do? Because about three or four shelves had collapsed. So, and each shelf had had space for three skids. So it was in sections. So you'd have one section that had three different shelves. So you'd have like the bottom floor access, whatever, where we'd pull product off to put onto pallets for shipping out. You'd have the second shelf for stock and the third shelf for stock. So two or three sections had fallen down. And so each pallet had probably about 30 to 40 bags on it. I think we had calculated it was like 400 some bags had like fallen off.
That's a lot of seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it was just like a landslide of seed everywhere. Wow. So, surprisingly, not as many broke as I thought should have. Anyhow, my boss came out, and luckily the really nice guy, he came out, he's like, okay, this isn't as bad as I've seen it before. So I'll get to that story later. He told me about that one. But anyhow, like we went over, made sure everybody was safe and okay. And then he said, well, time to clean it up. So I spent the rest of that day restacking skids of seed.
Sounds backbreaking.
We had just, what's that?
Sounds backbreaking.
Yeah. My back only gave out a few times there, so it's good.
Called a good day.
Yeah. Wasn't that day, though. That day, my back stayed good. But yeah it was crazy. We calculated everything out. I think we only had like 12 bags of seed that broke out of like 400, which is nuts.
That's why you didn't get fired. They didn't lose too much money with you.
Yeah, probably. But I kind of had a reputation like breaking stuff there. So I eventually went up to the office where I would fix things instead of break things.
You're not liable to hurt yourself or anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keyboards are a lot cheaper to replace, I guess.
I guess. Well, my current job, like they say, is plenty of freaking white people.
But no comment.
What's that?
No comment.
No comment.
Awkward silence. He said, "Light."
Oh, my word.
You know, I really hope that 100 years from now, somewhere lost in the archives, a future civilization uncovers this episode and listens to this, and they're like, what's the big deal about saying the word white? I really hope that this is just a certain small period of time where that is a hot button.
Yeah.
And I hope they're just like, oh, that's not an issue. Great. Awesome. You
know? What was with this generation of people?
It'll be in some classroom somewhere. Obsessed. Teaching the kids. And back, we found a good clip from history today, kids.
It was from the archives called Hammer Lane Legends. You know it's accurate. Right.
We also found these other articles called The Confessionals.
We're not sure about this.
Yeah. Well, no, maybe that by then they'll be all proven right. They're like, this is when they were first discovering Bigfoot.
Rediscovering.
Yeah, now Bigfoot's our friend.
Yeah.
Just stop right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Fought twice.
Anyways, we just took about 2 minutes of people's lives that they'll never get back.
Exactly.
Josh, continue. Carry on, man.
Oh, my. So, anyhow. The funny thing was, after that fell down, we got everything cleared out. We pulled kind of the wreckage or the shelving out, and it was just empty there for, I don't know, a few months. We just kind of left it there, and we just used the floor for stacking stuff and didn't really worry about it. And then eventually I was like, I guess we should do something about that. So they had the one day we came in and helped rebuild everything. But I think they kind of kept me away from that. Then here, go fix something else.
I think there's a corner of the room there that needs to be swept and mopped.
Here, it's inventory day. Go count things.
You know,
do us a favor. Just go grab the weed whacker and go outside.
Yeah. Try not to hurt yourself.
Exactly. No, Get away from yourself and people. That, so.
I when I worked at the car garage, it was just a small car garage, and when I first got hired there, they did what he just described. They took every day tires came in, you know, restock, you know, but we never put it on the shelves. Like we had this beautiful, huge tire rack that just went from one side of the garage to the other. You know, you could go upstairs, organize everything by size, brand, all that. And for my first like 2-3 months, I'd say, we would just stack the tires in one of the bays. So like we literally had a bay that was inoperable because we had tires stacked from floor to ceiling. And if you've been in a car garage, those ceilings are high. And I'm not kidding you, floor to ceiling. Like there was times it's just like a pyramid. We just toss them up on there and stuff. And an order would come in and we'd be like pulling tires out, trying to find some and stuff. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Oh, man. But
wow, this is what happens when men run stuff.
Yeah, really. I mean, like we were so disorganized. I think the oldest guy in our garage was 32 at the time, and I was like 21. And I shortly after I got hired there, a few guys had gotten fired for not organizing things. Now, just kidding, no, but they did get fired, and I found myself this new guy who just is green and not knowing what I'm doing with cars and stuff. And they're like, "You're in charge of the garage now." I'm like, "Huh?"
Wow.
And I was like, "Me?" And they're like, "Yeah, we like the way you change the oil." One of my first legislations was, "Boys, we're going to get the tires back on the rack."
Get to work.
And get this. When we did that, we put all the tires back up on the rack. Guess what happened? We started making more money because we added more bays.
How about that? Wow.
I made the company money.
Second job. Johnny, go order toilet paper. We need to get some in those restrooms.
Yo, I'm telling you, like we would
wow.
We would fill our containers filled with the oil, and you drain the cars for the oil, and you fill up that, you know, red container. Mm-hmm. When that got filled, instead of putting it in waste, like we would have a tote that you could pump it into there, and then the company would come and pump it out, right? When it would get filled. Instead of doing that, we we had a furnace hanging from the ceiling, and we would climb on top of the bathroom to stay on the roof of the bathroom where the furnace was, and we would take the used car oil and dump it in there, and it was not a used oil burner. We thought we were saving people money by doing that.
Now you know why we have a problem with global warming today. Nice.
I mean, dude, I could tell you stories from that place. Oh, it was so much fun. Like, I'd still be there if it paid more. It was such a fun job. I bet you don't have that much fun at your job, Josh.
Not the current one, but this other forklift place was interesting. They never really put me in a position of like supervising stuff, but they'd occasionally have me work on some projects. The one time they had me build some shelving because we took an old boiler room and they finally got permission from the landlords to just kind of bust it down and take it out. So, which gave us a little bit of extra space. So they had me build some shelves and my carpentry experience was lacking. So, and you had a little bit of experience with building some stuff. So my supervisor, who's an Amish guy, he's really, really nice guy to work with. And he just kind of looks at me and says, "Okay, Josh, go build some new shelves." I'm like, "Okay, sure." So we had taken down the old ones. And there was, mind you, one of my coworkers had worked construction for like 2 or 3 years. He's like, why does he have you building these? I'm just like, "I don't know. I'm not the best person for this." So anyhow, I got these things built. I'm just like, I think that's good. My coworker comes out, he looks at it, and he's like, "Yeah, that's not level." I was like,
"Ah,
what's a level?"
It's kind of sturdy. So he gets like a piece of wood from someone else, like jams it under the corner, one of the legs. You're like, "That looks better." So they left it, and we had it there for years. Just this thing shivved under. We had all these bags stacked up under there. The ultimate test was we had this huge dude that came in. He was seasonal, big old Mennonite guy. He must have been like 6'7", like 300 pounds, just brick wall of a person, but nicest guy you could ever meet. And we said, "Okay, go stand on these shelves." He's like, "Okay." So he stands on. I'm like, little sketchy, not too bad. I'm like, okay, go hold him. We'll be good.
It's like having Sasquatch stand on your shelf.
Hold him, I'll hold anything.
Josh's masterpiece.
Yeah. Right.
You know, my masterpiece. And now I work construction, so.
Everything's got shims under it now. But
listen, Josh, you know? I don't want to cost you a paycheck, but when we're done recording, I'm going to need you to tell me what buildings you've helped build.
I want to make sure I'm not buying. The thing I find funny is that the Amish guy, who's probably been involved with countless barn raisings down there in that area, he looks at you and says, you have no construction experience. Why don't you build those shelves for us? You know? Here's a guy who knows how to build stuff.
Figured since we were slow that time of year, he was just like, well, I know he has barely any construction experience and he likes to build and fix some things. So, this will take him a while. Go over there. Stay out of trouble. Don't break anything else. Okay.
Maybe he liked the way you put the shelves back up that you knocked down.
Don't cut yourself on the saw and don't nail your foot to the floor.
You know? Actually, speaking of hurting myself on saws, I did nick the tip of my thumb off on a table saw.
You did?
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
So you really put yourself into your work.
I really, absolutely. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh my word.
Hopefully
this was elsewhere. It was for my wedding, so
really
fun.
Wow. Yeah. You know that your marriage will last. You're a self-sacrificer, man.
There you
you're
go.
Just
absolutely
you cut off stuff, just it's gonna last. I'm putting blood into this thing here.
Yeah.
Blood and body parts.
There we go.
So how bad
my wife freaked out and just like, okay. But like it's where like the drama queen side came out because my mind's like, oh my gosh, you don't have a finger, and I look over and it's just like the kind of like, I don't know, maybe an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch that's like tip cut off. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then like later on, I think about it, I was like, I was such a baby. Like that word.
I probably would act the same way though.
Heck yeah.
Like the nurse was just like, oh my gosh.
Sorry, hon, I can't wear a wedding ring. I just cut off my ring finger. Sorry. We're married, but I'm not going to let anybody know.
I like when I'm doing like work around the house or just like heavier stuff where you're, like when I built this room and stuff, mm-hmm. I hate the idea of my fingers getting jammed mm-hmm. and like pinched and stuff. And it actually like makes me a handicap when I'm building stuff because I'm like overly careful. Like when we're carrying lumber into the basement to build this room, like I'm like, hold on a second, I gotta get my gloves. You don't need gloves, just grab. I gotta have my gloves because
I don't want to get a splinter.
I don't want to pinch. You know, like I hate
it's gonna
it.
Hurt.
Like I mean,
we'll mess up my manicure.
I literally think I'd rather lose the arm that the hand's attached to than have a finger pinched. Like it's just I.
Well,
hate
then they'll keep the hand and just attach it to your shoulder and then pinch that.
Yeah. That you have a hard time buying shirts, but yeah.
How would you like to see me swim with that? That set up. Go around in a circle and never go anywhere.
Play a flipper.
They call me Flipper. Oh, man.
Wow. Such an insensitive conversation.
It is what it is. It is what it is. That's what happens when you get a bunch of truck drivers and forklift drivers together.
You got that right.
Word. Yeah, it's hilarious. Usually the forklift drivers that cause the truck drivers trouble, but sometimes it's the other way around.
It's nice that you admit that.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Here we go on the truck drivers. We had this guy, he knew. So with the way our company was set up, it was kind of, you know, good old boys type thing of like, you know, we'll try to stick to what rules you got. But if you know, if you got a weird load, you got to rearrange, like we'll help you take care of it. So we'll pull some stuff out, help you rearrange the load so you can get stuff, you know, at the warehouse guys at the terminal decided, hey, this is your last stop. So we're going to put it all the way at the front. So you have to move it every single time. And by the way, here's some pickups that you have to get first before you deliver this. So stuff got set on there a few times. And so we'd pull all this stuff off and put it back on. Anyhow, like, I forget what it was, but something like fell apart in the warehouse. And we're like, shoot. So he's just stuck it all back on. And he's like, do you care if we wrap it on your stretch wrapper here? I was like, sure. You're using it though. I'll press the button to make it go, but you're guiding things. It's like, okay. So we wrapped it. He's like, looks good as new. I'm like, okay, put it back on. We're not liable for this. This is all your fault, buddy. Didn't hear anything about it, so I guess it got there.
Shipper load and count. I don't know. Yeah. It had all the pieces when we left.
First of all, I can relate to that story.
Yes, you can.
Because I can't, especially Saturdays, the guys are loading trucks for Mondays and the truck drivers aren't there to make sure that they're doing it right. And so they pretty much just throw it on as they get it. And so there's a lot of times last stops in the front kind of thing. And there's a lot of guys that are like, okay, I'm just going to run it the way it's loaded then. And it's back and forth, back and forth. Why is Monday so unproductive? Well, you know, but the... Well, I forget where I was going with that, so you're up, Dad.
This is why I do line haul. I don't have to worry about touching it. I don't do anything with it. I just get in the truck, hook up my tractor to my trailer, hook up my lines, check my tires, check my lights, punch my stuff in the computer, and I'm on my way. Now getting
make sure
out
there's no
on
crap time. Around your truck.
Exactly. Make sure nobody's pooping in the parking lot.
Oh, I got a story about that.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up. I think it's what Josh was driving at.
Oh, did I already tell that on the show? Oh, dang.
I think you did. Somebody left up to warm piles.
Yeah. In between the trailers.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy who stepped in and stuff, he still wore those boots.
What is this? That'd have been like I'd have taken them off right then.
Yeah, heck yeah. I'm like, listen, I'm going home.
I'm punching out, going home.
Yeah, I'm not wearing these boots all day.
Nope, I'm done.
Yeah, you know, they're going to put in the trash. I'm wearing out. My socks driving home, and I don't got any other work boots, so I'm going to have to go get sneakers, then
I'll go
to Walmart.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. And oh, by the way, it's COVID now, so I'm going to be standing in line for a while. So consider this a half day.
Not to mention it's COVID now, so I have to go get tested.
Yeah.
You know, bodily fluids,
You don't know what's in that through the boots and all that.
You got that right.
Pretty strong. Yeah.
Yep.
Why are you being tested today, sir? Because I stepped in human feces.
Do you have any symptoms? Feces? I did this morning.
Let me get my boots. I'll show you.
Please remind me of the symptoms of that. Nope, we're going to let that one go too.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I know, Greta. I'm sorry. So, love it. Yeah. Love it. But yeah, awesome. I totally get the whole loading the truck wrong and everything and then things breaking open. That's where I was going to go with it. So there are times that I have to have, you know, a customer move freight around for me because it's loaded all out of order. And some customers are a little shaky about that. They're like, I'd rather not touch it because if I break it kind of thing, I'm like, listen, if you break it, I'll say it was loaded that way. You know, we'll just push the buck because like he was saying how the wrapping and stuff, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I have a skid of, you know, let's say oil dry. And I know I have oil dry as soon as I look at my trailer because there's a line of oil dry going into the trailer. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to find a mess later on day. And sure enough, it's the last stop. You're pulling it out and you can't even move it because you're trying to move it over oil dry. And there's like a whole bag that's emptied out on your trailer. Yeah, well.
Sorry.
You only wanted, you know, 12, right? Or you only wanted 11, not 12.
You wanted 39 bags, not all 40, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. It was a rough estimate when you ordered, right?
Shipper loading count.
Here's your shipping, I guess. Most of it's there.
It was shrink wrapped when I got it. Shipper loading count. Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Actually, with some of the seed was the same way. So we'd get stuff in from all over the world. And so we had these truckloads that come in. And they came in from Denmark or... I think something came in from Egypt a long time, like all sorts of places. Now these things come in, it's just like, oh, okay, this looks good. So mind you, they're coming from a different country. So that means they have to come through customs. Customs, best people to work with you could ever imagine. Their way of opening a bag is taking, I think, a butter knife, kind of stabbing it in the bag, and then ripping it off. So you have this, you can see what looks like, I guess, a utility knife or something.
Or the start to cut knife.
And then it catches on the bag because it's a paper bag. Or the guy just has a dull knife or he used a rock. I don't know. And it just cuts across. And so you have this gash in a bag. There's seed just everywhere. And then it has U.S. Customs tape on it. And so it's like, okay, a little piece of tape really doesn't cover everything. And then somebody was, I guess, nice in their world. They took and they wrapped like half the bag in U.S. Customs tape. I'm like, well, we know who ripped it, but it doesn't help. We lost like half a bag of speed.
That's a way of saying, sorry.
My bad. Yeah, we've only needed this for like 3 weeks and you had it those entire 3 weeks. So thanks. Yeah.
When you first started talking about it, you're like, they're the greatest work. I'm like, really? Like, I can't imagine this is going to be a good story.
The U.S. Customs poured out half our bag of seeds from Egypt. Quick, run down to the hardware store and get a bag of seeds. We'll just refill the bag. I can just see something like that happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. No.
How in the world we get that?
We're usually pretty spot on, but we just take the whatever broken bags, we'd report it to them, and somebody would reimburse us or the trucking company or...
Some farmers he can't really say anything to them. Grown in the same field.
<What's>
what? Corn and cotton.
Corn and cotton.
I got corn and cotton grown in my same field. How'd that happen? I don't know. Where'd the seeds come from? Egypt.
It's a new farming practice.
Egypt.
It's Egyptian cotton. Straight from the heart of Lancaster.
It's a cotton blend.
Corn cotton. They want when you eat your corn, they want you to be able to wash it down and soak it up with something.
I got cotton mouth when I was eating my corn.
Cotton mouth. I hope people are laughing.
It's a high fiber diet.
See, I, this, when I,
wow,
so
this conversation went wow.
When we get like this sometimes in the show, I just hope that people are laughing too, and they're not like, click next, unsubscribe.
They're just hitting that skip 30 seconds. Yeah. They're still going.
They're still laughing.
They're still laughing. It wasn't funny. These guys think they're funny, and they're not. Here's a 1-star review. These guys think they're funny, and they're not. We hate them. Don't ever listen. It's a dumb podcast. Yeah, I heard it all before. Keep going.
Well.
Oh, Tony, it sounds like you have some repressed anger there.
I know. He's got some issues. Let it all out. Don't hold back.
Well, that's why I stopped reading they're not 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. This podcast sucks. Yeah. Listen to it.
I hate all people. Listen to something that's terrible.
Yeah. No, I stopped reading them because, like, you know, there's a lot of people that love on the show and stuff, but then there's some people that say things, hate. And it's just like, it's not even like, because there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. It's like, whatever, you know. That was actually part of the conversation we can't air. So,
you know, just to quote one of our most prolific philosophers, haters gonna hate.
That's Confucius, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's confusing. All right.
Oh man,
I just lost half of our female audience.
Why?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, see,
haters gotta hate.
You gotta sing that.
You didn't even get that?
No, I didn't get it.
Tony doesn't listen to radio, watch TV. You know, yeah, he's kind of Amish.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
hook your horse and buggy to work. Yeah.
If you want to talk to the most uncultured person in the world, call into the show.
Oh my word!
Have you ever seen the show?
Please
no.
Wait as he tries to figure out how to answer the phone.
Have you ever seen the movie? No. You know the song? No. What country do you live in? No.
He's not sure.
Yeah. What's a country? I don't know.
All I know
Can I tell everybody where you live?
What do you know? I know how to turn a wheel and push pedals.
That's it. And now you're not even sure of because you drove an automatic. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, my truck was most of them. Most of them are automatic.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah. Oh boy. All right, Josh. So back to you. You drive forklift, huh?
Yes.
How's that Egyptian cotton work?
Well, another one of my responsibilities for there was you get damaged product and stuff, and being in a warehouse. The warehouse we were when I first started in, and then they moved to a bigger, better facility. Anyhow, being an older warehouse, kind of had some issues with mice. So every day, you know, I'd make my rounds, check the traps and whatnot. But every once in a while, we'd be stacking product or picking a product or whatnot. And we'd find, you know, a mouse running around. So we got pretty good at running down mice, and we'd obviously we would catch them and we would release them into a very safe, friendly, loving environment where they could flourish, called the bottom of my boot. So yeah, but we'd do that. And then I got good at catching them, and they make a little pop. Catch my drift.
I get it. I get it.
We drifted right into it.
Pete is calling.
That's who that is. I just got a call.
Thanks, Josh. You got me sued.
There we go. Hammer Lane Legends canceled for animal cruelty.
No animals. No real animals are hurt in this this podcast.
Yeah. Well,
but anyhow, we had a product called triticale. It's a cross between wheat and rye, and found out the mice really like that because it's just pretty much, I don't know, these are just big grain pieces that can just come in and eat the whole thing. So the one year we had, we picked a toad up and the toad would hold 2,000 pounds, and we realized there was mice just falling out of it. Okay, there's definitely a nest in here. So we picked the thing up, we run it outside, and we start digging around, and there's mice just jumping out of this thing just everywhere. Like, oh my gosh. So this one mouse comes out, goes running across this parking lot. So the parking lot's not easily visible from the road, so it was kind of a safer place to put stuff still if you had to do that. And it was very rare we had anything that bad. So this thing comes out, he goes running. Well, this dude, one of my coworkers, goes running after this mouse, and he doesn't quite run normally. I don't know. It's kind of like a clodhopper run or something. So he's clodhopping along after this mouse, and it's the funniest looking thing. So we're just sitting there dying. He's chasing his mouse around. He finally gets, and he comes back. It's like, what's wrong? It's like seeing you chase after that mouse. It's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. And he's like getting this. He finally catches that thing, comes back, and there's like two or three more. They go running out. So he goes running after them again. Just entertaining to see someone that's, yeah, you know, full grown man go chasing after like this little mouse. Get back here trying to stomp on it.
I'm not that guy. I'm not your Huckleberry with that one. Like, I hate mice. Hate them. I mean, there was a mouse in my house. Jack was here, and Jack is
that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, he's pest control guy, and I'm like freaking out. And Jack,
you're on the stool in the kitchen.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Like,
my Lindsay, get that mouth.
No, Lindsay was holding me. So. and Jack just picked it up and put it outside.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
I'm like, what the heck? You know, but I hate mice. Absolutely hate them. And they chew the wires of my lawnmower and it's all that stuff. I hate them. Don't like them.
All of a sudden, he gets really serious when he looks
into everything.
Yeah, and everything.
Hate them.
They're just mice. They're just little animals.
Hate
them. Going to hurt anything.
I don't like them. Carry diseases. It's the stereotype. I don't like them.
That's rats. You're thinking rats.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of mice. I don't like them.
Well, if you don't like mice,
yeah,
let me tell you about rats.
Hey, why do you think I stay out of New York City?
Amen to that, brother. Yeah,
they got a real rat problem in New York City.
Oof, yeah.
Like a real rat problem.
No, Mario Cuomo? I mean, Andrew Cuomo?
Geez.
Mario, I'm thinking about Mario. His dad. That's how old I am. Holy crap.
Oh, man. Well, Dad, good job. You just ruined half the audience.
Showing. Yep, there it is.
All
just
right.
Delete that.
I'm pretty sure we already did by now. Anyways, if you're still with us, you're the real ones. So... Josh, so you had a warehouse collapse.
Yes.
Now, is it because you ran your forklift into the side of a building?
Through the wall.
Through the wall.
Absolutely. Just pedal the metal, figures. See what I can hit, and where it stopped.
See what we can take out.
Oh, no. Actually, it was in, I forget what year, it was January, several years ago. And we had really heavy snowfall, probably 6 to 8 inches of snow. It was wet, heavy, slushy stuff. And our side was sectioned off from the main landlord side. So there was two companies there. We shared some different products here and there, but they owned it and then we rented off them. So anyhow, their one section apparently wasn't supported right, or it's just old and hadn't been maintained a certain way. I don't know all the specifics, but one of the structures gave out on the roof and it just collapsed down, like part of the wall caved in. So they lost quite a bit in that. So we came in, and since we were pretty close with that other company, said, yeah, we'll help you clean up on things. And we were kind of slow too, since it was winter. So we go over. Mind you, it's snowy out, and forklifts are designed for dry warehouses. So being the young, very self-controlled individual that I was, it was very nice to drift a forklift sideways. So learned that pretty quick. So we take this thing out, and I have an electric forklift in, you know, wet snow, safest thing. And then we have some of the gas forklifts. So the electric one has this big battery, great for pushing the other forklifts if they get stuck. So I use that, get the other guys out. We go down, we come out of our warehouse, and we can't go through the warehouse to their side because that side's collapsed. So we have to go out on the road through the snow and go in through the other side. So we come in, try to make a turn. Well, they don't turn overly well. So we're slip sliding around. We finally get to the other side, and there's like 50 people everywhere. And it's the first time I've ever used a forklift just as like kind of a, I don't know, like construction vehicle or whatever. You just ran over everything that we was just in the way. It's like, okay, people saw us, so they would move. And then there's just like pieces of wood and tin and everything else. And luckily there's the tires are just a solid rubber, so you can run over anything. And we just run over like wood and rubble, and like the forklifts like flopping back and forth. And like, okay, well, this is new. So we helped them move some product out and move it to the other sides of the warehouse that hadn't collapsed and whatever else. But it was insane. I'd never seen a building collapse like that. And luckily it was overnight, so nobody had gotten hurt. But it was crazy just to go over and see like a facility you'd seen like the day before. You come back and it's just gone. Like part of it's collapsed. The other part was like, you could see it was going to collapse. So I don't know how they do for insurance stuff, but I guess they kind of like total it or whatever. And they just collapsed the rest of it and did what they could to kind of finish things off safely. And then they rebuilt, but it was just crazy. I didn't like thinking that it could have been us in our most important section, because we looked up on the roof and had people go up there and clean the snow off our section. But there was in the center part of the building, whoever had designed the building hadn't really thought through. And we had our mixing facility in there, and they had all this wet, heavy snow sitting there. And I think the only reason why that didn't collapse and destroy all our mixing equipment is because we had a center wall we had built to section off a portion of the building for cold temperature storage. For a seed, so it didn't have the fluctuating temperatures and make the germination go bad. But yeah, we looked over everything, and I think soon after that they were starting to look for like a different place, because it was going to take a lot of work and a lot of money to get everything upgraded. So I think they upgraded the one side, and then I don't know where it went from there. But yeah, it was crazy.
So you've never seen a building collapse like that. Clearly, you've never been to Old Philadelphia. Because those buildings collapse all the time.
Come on down to Old Philly.
I'm telling you. When I used to, because the local Fox station is Fox 29, and I used to like watching their morning show. And I'm telling you, it was maybe once or twice a year. You would, so-and-so building on whatever block collapsed overnight. You know, it was old. Symptom, old. You know,
like, age.
I mean, another old building fell apart. In other news,
yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile,
it's like, you know, the building Ben Franklin stayed in, we decided to keep it as original and not renovate it and let hipsters rent it out. Yeah. You know, like, and we wonder why it collapsed. You know?
Independence Hall. Yeah, we ain't taking care of squat.
I mean, I'm telling you, like old Philadelphia. There are some buildings that, you know, are long overdue for rehab, and they just decide to give out and they fall over. And most of the time,
that's a TV show. Yeah, renovating, yeah. Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, you can do that.
No, thanks.
I want nothing to do with that. That sounds like a hard job.
Yes, it does.
Well, then Tony, you could just drive in there, you know, with your truck, doing your favorite thing, driving through Philly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And totally. Take new parts over to there. Yeah. Help them rebuild things. There you sounds go. Like a job for you.
So fun.
It does. That sounds like
so fun.
Piece of cake, yeah. For you.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Try Philadelphia. Yeah. Philly. Where's that again? You know, like, not interested. I'll tell you, you went drifting on the forklift, huh?
Yeah. We had learned that hate it when your brain just stops working.
Happens to me all the time. I'm
glad. Wait till you get old.
That's why the trucks start drifting off the road.
Yes. Yes.
We're like, huh?
Recalculating.
Huh? Where am I? Where am I? What was I doing?
What gear am I in?
I and feel free to, if you remember what you were going to say, I tested the tractor out with drifting. Yeah. My first winter, driving tractor trailer. I'm in the lot at the terminal, and it goes around the terminal. I'm like, oh, let's try this out. and man, I'll tell you, like, I mean, I hit it and I hit that turn and it drifted. Oh, it drifted. And at some point I was like, are we going to stop anytime? Getting pretty close to these trailers over here. I was scared to death. I was like, I'm about to lose my license, about to lose my job.
I meant to hook up to that trailer like that.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan. All one movement, guys. Listen, you don't know town until you see this. Oh man,
oh, it's fun. Actually, that brings to mind another story. So we had, again, it was being forklift driver. We always had product coming in from other places. So, we had some seed corn that came in the one time. And every once in a while, we'd have some pallets that had moved or something had shifted in shipment. It's like, okay, like no big deal, whatever. We'll restack things later on, or we'll just file whatever claims it needs to be. Anyhow, you come in and this guy opens the truck and it looks like, you know, he either slammed on the brakes or something. So we're unloading stuff. There's skids that are like snapped in half and just parts of skids that are jammed up into bags. And we lost probably, you know, 5, 10, I don't even know how many bags, quite a few bags for a normal shipment. Because normally you get like one or two damage. So having like 5 damage is a lot, but having like 10 or more is like huge. So anyhow, we get through all this stuff. We're signing like so many bags were damaged and that and the other thing. And I asked the truck driver, like, what the heck happened? He's like, oh yeah, I was driving and I hit a deer. This did that. A deer did that. Seed corn. Must have been one big deer. Maybe it was an elk or something.
Elk, deer, same thing.
It was a Bigfoot.
Whatever. Yeah, 4-footed creature.
It was something. I was doing something else. Gosh, I was watching Netflix while I was driving. Crazy. I hit something. How many times do you see that on the road, Dad? You know, and especially yeah. You driving at night. You drive past other trucks, or no, you're in the slow lane all the time. You're not a lead foot, but
exactly.
When you see other trucks passing you, I bet you see their screens glowing and they're watching some kind of movie or something while they're driving.
What are you watching?
Yeah.
Get your foot off the dash, dude. You're driving a truck. It's not a Barco lounger.
I've seen guys watching things they probably shouldn't be watching at all, and they're watching it while they're driving and doing other things too. If you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Not truckers, though. I haven't seen that with truckers, but yeah. Four-wheelers. Man, some guys, they just... what?
I have seen a lot.
Yeah.
Seen enough, I don't want to see.
Did I ever tell the story of the guys that at work that told me about... I don't think I did. So these two guys been driving at the terminal for years. And back in the day, they told me the story. There's these girls in a car. Mm-hmm. And they drove up and they were like driving back from Jersey or something together. So it was one in front of the other. And they drove up to the trucks, mm-hmm. and were flashing them and stuff, going back and forth. They'd go up to the next one and then fall back. And they're flashing back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then they started following the guys back to the terminal. Mm. And you remember the old Norristown terminal, mm-hmm. the building across the street with the big parking lot there? Mm-hmm. They literally went into that parking lot and they parked their car. And
wow.
Yeah. And it was like, and I don't want to mention the guys' names and stuff, but no. they were like, should we go over there? You know, like, they're like, maybe we should. This,
punch out
maybe
quick.
This is a freebie, you know? Like, but, wow. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, it's, I haven't really had much experience with that, but... thank God, really.
I haven't had any experience with that.
But, like, you hear stories.
You should not say much.
Yeah.
You should just be flat out. Yeah. None, Lindsay. I've had none.
No, I haven't.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that. But
I mean,
no.
You say much. It's
I had the opposite end of the spectrum where guy's yanking on himself. You know,
I've seen that.
He
too.
Can't wait. I mean, he must be like, hot and heavy during days. Like, I can't wait to get in the car to drive home. Can't wait to get in the car to drive home. Like, come on, bro. Like, what is this?
Dude, wait till you get home.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Went south. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. I had this feeling. Like, if we didn't go south yet, we definitely went south.
We're
now.
We're
it's getting hot and heavy where I'm at.
Oh my, you should rename the show to Southbound.
Southbound
and down. Holy
there
crap.
You go.
Jerry, oh my word, never mind.
Yeah, don't.
It's an old song. And
well, I wouldn't know it anyways.
I know you wouldn't. It's called Southbound and Down.
Yeah, well, there's probably a bunch of anyways.
Jerry Reed.
Okay, sure.
Toy's like, what?
So let me ask you, Josh, did you ever do any tricks with the forklift? Because
tricks. Can you flip it?
Yeah, well, I learned a trick with a forklift, and I want to see if he's going to say the same thing I did.
If it's the coin flipping thing,
dang
I've never
it.
Done that, but we've talked about it.
Dang it. I thought for sure you wouldn't say that. Yeah, the coin flipping thing. It's you can
no,
do it.
I don't know. I think I think we did do that.
It
wasn't me that did it, but there was another guy there, and we were kind of like teaching, like, okay, now drop the forks, bring it back.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's like super hard, but all you do is just like keep the tip of the fork down, you drag it back, and when it gets to the edge of the coin,
flips it up.
It just hits that back angle or something, and it flips it back up onto the fork.
It must have been.
It looks really cool, but it's not as hard as you might think.
Yeah, it was a slow day at Pitt, Ohio.
It must have been. You can tell the guys that are on the clock. Just say it that way.
One of the
I was waiting for
the other.
Hold on a second, Josh. I was waiting for the slow line haul drivers to come in with my freight to get going on the day. Okay, so
did
pick
your
up
freight
the pace.
Get there safely?
I don't know.
Did your freight show up?
I wish line haul would pick it up a little bit. Okay,
take that up with line haul.
All right. Anyways, go ahead, Josh. Little family spat there.
Yeah, this one's got daddy issues.
He does, doesn't he?
He does. You guys need, like, you know, some family counseling or something.
Tried, it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We killed the counselor.
You know, I heard about this.
She retired.
All right, Josh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, my. What was it? So one of the things we used to do, allegedly, because we're always OSHA compliant with everything we did, but...
Of course.
Allegedly, we had multiple stacks of corn that we would bring in. And the corn was usually the stablest thing. It was pretty square. So you could stack two or three pallets on top of each other. So that being the case, it was easier to just pick up two or three pallets at a time instead of just picking up one or two. But we found out you had to use the biggest forklift we had. And occasionally that wasn't enough weight for the counterbalance. So what we would do is you'd have either the giant that worked with us. It was like this super tall. He was like 6'5", 6'7", like all 320, solid muscle, like a super tall Mennonite guy. So super easygoing, really great to work with, and just hilarious sense of humor. So he would hop on the back, or he would have me hop on the back, and he'd be in the driver's seat, and we'd hang on the back and lean back as far as we could for a counterbalance. And we'd bring the rear wheels back so you could drive and just, you know, kind of cruise around, have that. And it worked great for moving stuff until you blow the hydraulic lines. That's, yeah. Don't pick up too many heavy things. It'll blow the lines of hydraulics.
You strap yourself to the back of this thing, safety first.
Why do you always have ropes in the back of your forklift? You'll find out.
Get the fat guy over here.
When you go in for an interview.
Chunk, get over here.
When you go in for an interview, they're like, how much do you weigh?
You need a good heavy guy.
They call you up for the interview. Yeah, we'd like to bring you in for an interview, but before we bring you in, how much do you weigh? About 320. Yeah, come on in on Tuesday. You're hired.
Absolutely. Don't even worry about the interview. You're hired.
Oh, you got a job for me? Oh, we got a job for you.
Yeah, we got a job.
You ever heard of counterbalance?
It's a very specialized kind of job.
Bring your work boots. Safety first.
Yeah, safety first. Work boots. Josh, man, it was fun chatting with you, brother.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I forgot to tell you about the Amish guy we had that worked there. Guy's name was Henry. And Henry is one of a kind. And I was telling you earlier, if you've ever seen the movie Blazing Saddles, there is the old pioneer, doesn't speak English at all, but he kind of thinks he does. So this Amish gentleman, Henry, he kind of spoke, I guess. So couldn't really understand him that well, but it was just entertaining. So I got to understand growl, which is, I guess, an Amish dialect. And worked with him, mind you, he's not that old. He's probably in his 30s, and worked with him for several years. But one of the unique traits of Henry was that he didn't have all of his teeth. So he had dentures, and he'd be working, you know, stacking some bags or whatnot. And he would be driving a forklift by, and you would look up, and his dentures are not, you know, normally your teeth sit horizontally. Well, his teeth were then vertically and then clicking around sideways and this way. He pops his dentures out, pops them back in. So the first time he did that, I sat there, I'm like, what just happened? Oh, did he? No, it can't be. No, he's fine, whatever. Tried to brush it off. Later on, I see, and he has his mouth wide open, dentures are straight up and down. Like, okay, they do move around. So anyhow, one of the days we're working and he's in our mixing facility and they're mixing some seed, and he sneezes and coughs at the same time, and his dentures go flying out and land on the floor somewhere, and he just starts laughing. So he just picks them up, pops them back in, and keeps going like nothing happened.
5 second rule, I guess.
I'm just thinking, you know, if you live on a farm, how often does that happen? And what goes on those dentures?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess denture bond or derma bond or whatever the bonding stuff doesn't work well. So he got a new pair the one time, and they stuck for probably a week, and they were popped off within the end of the week. Just absent-minded teeth chewing.
That's hilarious.
Something, but yeah. Interesting guy. So, it was definitely just one of a kind. So working with the Amish was interesting. They used to jerry rig all sorts of different things. We had all air powered stuff. So if something didn't quite work well, I said, oh, okay, I can fix that. So they'd like tear something apart and put it back together. And you know, it wasn't quite supposed to do that. but it somehow worked. So you just left it. And then somebody would come in and they'd be like, how is, never mind. But they knew not to let me fix it, because if I tried to fix something, it's 70-30, 30% of the chance in the warehouse, I would get it fixed and it would work great like new. And the other 70% is I would either knock down shelves or, you know, short circuit a forklift. So that was, yeah. Don't play with the horn part on the forklift. Doesn't start working. Just call maintenance. Because somehow if you short circuit something up there, the entire forklift dies. And then that died in the way, and we had to push that out with another forklift. And a 9-ton forklift does not move easily.
No, I can imagine not.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got these extra parts left over from the job you asked me to do.
Yeah.
Where would you like them?
We had those happen in the car garage, too.
Oh, man. I don't want to know. Oh, I was changing brakes. I've got leftover parts. What?
Hey, nobody ever died.
Your car wasn't stopping. Now it won't move. There we go.
It worked.
I have these circular things that didn't quite fit in there.
Yeah.
What are they? I think they're called rotors. Oh.
Speaking of dentures, we had one of our road drivers a long time ago. He had false teeth. The guy's dead now, so it's okay. I won't say his name, but he used to take his dentures out and put them on his dash. And one night, he got really pissed off. He was driving, and something happened. He got pissed off. He took the napkin that he put them on and just threw it out the window.
No.
It's like, oh, no. What the heck? Where's your teeth? When he got to his destination.
I forgot them. I forgot they were in my napkin, and I threw them out the window. I don't know if that's what they sound like.
When I don't know, but it does sound funny. Oh, you know, speaking of another stuff with dentures.
Man, dentures.
When Tony was little.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't know my dad before. You know, my dad had false teeth. And my dad took his teeth out and smiled at Tony the one time. He thought Tony was going to have a heart attack. He must have been like 2 years old.
It scarred me.
It was freaking hilarious. I sat and I laughed. I was like, oh, my God. I've never seen a kid react like that.
It scarred me. I had no idea.
Those are my denture stories. My dad was hilarious that way.
Yeah, that was real funny. Oh, man.
It was funny. Should have been there.
Yeah.
As an adult. You'd laugh too.
All right. Josh, it's been a pleasure.
It really has been fun.
That's good. Yeah, I hope I got you some good material there.
Certainly did.
I'm gonna have to make sure my voice rests for the next one, because, man, there's too much laughing on this. Everybody's gonna be like, they're not laughing at anything funny. It's not funny.
Funny. Well, they won't hear it. They'll just skip past it, so we can really say whatever we want.
Well, they just skip the whole episode. We laughed the whole time. You know? Anyways.
It was fun. Yeah. It really was fun. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Josh, for coming on and sharing with us. That was really interesting. And just some of the stories you had, man. Holy cow. You know, I definitely, I'm just glad I haven't been in those situations before. I've operated a forklift. I've done stuff in a small garage. Well, not too small of a garage, in a diesel garage. But definitely would not, I don't want to be in those situations ever. So kudos to you for making it through, man. And thanks for sharing your stories with us. You know, it's always fun to have these stories. And that's why we say always email us at hllpodcast@protonmail. Share your stories with us on the show and with everybody else who listens. And what's the best way to let other people know about the show? Obviously, they say it every week. Share the show, right? Share the show on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the, you know, beep boops and bops and stuff. Whatever you got, just share it on those suckers and let people know about us. And you can also share the show by our gear section on hammerlanelegends.com. I think we have stickers and we have shirts and sweaters, and I think we're working on hats and stuff. Pretty cool stuff there. Not necessary, but if you want to check it out, it's pretty cool. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Yell at Tony and my dad in the comments, wherever you're at. Just yell at them, tell them, hey, get on this intro and outro so that young Merc doesn't have to do it. Anyway, so until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you my stories. Shine on me, and I will find a song. I will sing it just for you. And now I've been moving way too fast on the runaway train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going.